our latest ENSO wrap-up has shown that things are continuing along the path towards a La Nina event. Now, if we get one, it's not as likely to be as strong as the 2010, 2011 or the 11-12 event. But still, we're looking at a weaker event, but at least things are still looking quite likely that we'll have a La Nina in 2016.
What was so noticeable about the La Nina in 2010-2011?
So the La Nina event of 2010-12 was kind of two events, a 2010-11 that morphed into the 11-12 event. Was quite significant. In fact, one of the strongest on record, really only comparable to 1917-18, 1955-56, and 1975-76. So up there in the top handful of La Nina events on record. What we're looking at right now is something nowhere near as strong as that. The models suggest that we'll bubble along somewhere around about the La Nina threshold, so probably we'll torment the forecasters as well as the farmers to some degree, but still a lot weaker than 2010-12. Of course, some places will see relatively strong impacts. It doesn't automatically mean that the impacts are going to be weak, but yeah, most likely not quite as strong as the one we saw last time.
Are you able to forecast in any way, if the La Nina event does come about, what sort of rainfalls on average?
Well, our current seasonal outlook is taking into account the prospect of moving into a La Nina come later winter and into the spring to some degree. And we have quite strong odds of above normal rainfall right across eastern Australia and parts of southern Australia and Tasmania as well. So certainly at the moment we're looking at increased rainfall odds. Now, whether that's purely because of La Nina, and we'd probably say it isn't, or whether that's due to the warm ocean temperatures across northern Australia, and also what's happening, quite importantly, in the Indian Ocean, is another thing again. And I think we need to hold our horses a little on the La Nina, think a little bit more about the Indian Ocean for the moment.
What is happening in the Indian Ocean?
Well, at the moment, things are looking very warm over there in the Indian Ocean, but particularly the eastern Indian Ocean, the bit closer to us. We're also seeing it cool off a little bit off Africa. And when you get warmer waters in the Indian, close to northwest Australia, cooler waters off Africa, you have a thing called the negative Indian Ocean dipole. Really, that's a bit like a La Nina in the Indian Ocean. So we start to get favourable conditions to develop rainfall over Australia coming from our west, and as well as possibly the La Nina in our east.
Is that what feeds into the marine heat waves?
Yeah, to some degree, off Western Australia there later on in the year, if you have a negative Indian Ocean dipole, but also if you have a La Nina as well, you tend to see warmer temperatures off WA. You tend to get warm water coming through down through Indonesia and down the WA coast. And yes, we have seen, unfortunately, oceanic heat waves off Western Australia during past negative Indian Ocean dipoles and also during past La Nina events.
Andrew Watkins, you're saying the outlook for La Nina is 50%. That's what the models are telling you. Do the models actually oppose each other? Does one say yes, does one say no, or they all go, or maybe we think so?
There's eight of them. These models are all going for further cooling. In other words, where they're expecting the tropical Pacific Ocean to cool down a little more and head towards La Nina. It's the same bunch of eight models that we use to forecast out the El Nino, and they actually did very well last year. From May onwards, they were suggesting a very strong El Nino event, and indeed that came to be true. Indeed, the Pacific Ocean warmed up quite a lot.